Hello everybody, welcome to Wombat Radio. Today we're on Skype and we're speaking with Alison Plevy. Hi Alison.
Hello Matt.
Do you want to tell us about yourself before we get started?
I'm a contemporary dance artist and creator of performance, I would say. And I'm interested in cross-disciplinary collaboration. And recently I've also been calling myself a dance and physical theatre artist because I've been working across theatre and physical theatre as well. And I like to kind of think of myself a little bit, I suppose, as a serial collaborator, and I really feed off interdisciplinary collaborations and collaborations with unlikely people, as well as artists, but, across different fields. So that collaborative space is really... really energetic for me in my practice, as well as site-specific work, so it's this connection to people and place, I think, is a real driver for me as an artist.
So how do you position that within Canberra?
Yeah.
Like, is it those people in that place, or is that a definer of you, and then you're working with other people from other places?
I think it's probably both, but mostly the first that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. The sense that, like, I like to kind of I've been in Canberra now for about four years on and off, and I have a regional arts practice as well back in my hometown of Bathurst, and do a little bit of work in Sydney as well. But the sense that I've been in Canberra now for about 4 years, and the connections and people and the relationships that I'm starting to form become really, really rich in terms of my sense of what I want to make and who I want to make work with. So for me, it's very much about investing in those relationships, investing in finding new avenues to create dance. So also I'm really interested in not creating traditional theatre dance work, finding new spaces and new connections where dance might exist in the public sphere, in other art spaces like galleries. I've done a two-week residency in a small little visual art gallery. So trying to kind of reframe and connect with different spaces that are unique to Canberra, and then bring dance out into those spaces, and through those spaces connect to the people that exist there. And that's, I suppose, a really core to what I'm working on now, which is developing Australian Dance Party, which is an initiative that I've been working on for about 2 years, the idea that we can bring dance out into our society, that we can bring it out of the theatre and connect with our broader spheres of existence and out into the everyday. We can challenge ideas and extrapolate opinions through dance, and that they can be more widely viewed in our experience of this world, that it's not this high art experience that we maybe only... some sectors of a society might want to access or feel like they can go and see. I'm really interested in how dance can connect with other fields and other sectors, and more broadly with the challenges that we're facing as a society and a community.
Yeah. I was speaking with Sydney-based artist the other day, Matt Prest, and we were tossing out this idea between whether artists are the pushback against gentrification, or whether they are the forebearers of gentrification, and whether they break the ground that then transitions from. But I wonder, I'm really keenly interested when you're talking about dance and society and dance out of the theatre. There seems to be a lot of work going on at the moment where people are letting dance still take place in a theatre or in a gallery or some kind of performance venue, but the dance that is taking place is to some people, not aesthetically recognizable as dance. And I wonder if you're doing the same but opposite, where the dance that you're taking is still aesthetically very recognizably dance, but it is no longer in those contexts. And I wonder if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I think that's a really great observation. I think that's exactly what I'm experimenting with in this idea. In this, I call it an idea, Australian Dance Party. It's a developing idea. And so, yeah, the idea that I am trying to, I suppose, it's also about the value of the arts and the value of dance in our broader context. So how can dance as its art form be positioned where it's not traditionally seen to be allowed or seen to be commonplace, and how can it be used as a communicative vehicle, as a participatory vehicle, as a visceral and experiential vehicle to enable people to access it and see its value.
That's so really nice when you talk about the gradient upon which dance is participatory, and that there is actually, when valuing arts, there's a value gradient as well between dance and dancing.
Definitely. And this has been playing on my mind a lot in terms of this concept of Australian Dance Party and how I want it, how I feel like it can evolve and the many manifestations it could take, in terms of the idea that I do want it to be a platform for professional artists and professional practice. But dance more broadly has so much more value in other contexts for a range of different people in a range of different environments. So how can we use, I suppose, this base collective or this professional practice to also facilitate other spheres of practice? Like, because the community dance environment here in Canberra is really strong as well. And, you know, I've been talking with some of the oldies who are part of the Gold over 60s dance troupe here in Canberra, and how they are really excited by this idea of Australian Dance Party, that they have ideas that they want to share and they want to extrapolate and they want to talk about through their dance, and that they're really excited that they'll be able to do that potentially in a broader kind of public environment, and to connect with professional artists who might have the tools to help them do that is something really exciting. And so it's that collaboration between different layers or different the community, the professional, the participatory, all of those elements of dance, how can those kind of experiences of our physicality come into the work of Australian Dance Party?
I wonder if
it's not strictly professional practice. And that's something that's really, I think that's really developed from my history as a regional community and youth arts practitioner as well, my experience working with young people, with communities, to create work and seeing the possibility of how those people change and shift and find their voice and find a creative outlet and find expression through dance that they would not have otherwise. Yeah. So
this really cool idea that it seems like you're playing with is that it's not a stagnant place, that all people will, if interested, transition between community dance and dance community. And that continually moves back and forward. I wonder if you've had any insights about that, with speaking between professionals and non-professionals, and the professionals usually end up in this dance community and non-professionals usually end up in this community dance, but that we are all oscillating between them to try and in that is the power of dancing.
That's it. And for me, Australian Dance Party, if if I can get that sense of malleability with it, I'd be really, you know, stoked. And for me at the moment, it's about finding the how to do that. And maybe it is through the connecting with those people that are really interested to be involved, but have these other skills to offer and have done dance in these other contexts, and that kind of model of what Australian Dance Party is can really morph and shift and change depending on the purpose of the project that we're wanting to do as well. You know, if we have an idea for a community project that's based like right in the centre of Canberra in Greemer Place, which is about you know, freedom of speech or something, that there's community dance practitioners, there's youth arts practitioners, there's professional dance practitioners, there's people that just engage in dance in their kind of viewing or audience kind of practice of dance, and that we kind of freely speak through the body, and there's a kind of an experience whereby maybe I facilitate an experience where we express about a subject just through the body, but everybody there is on that same page. Anyway, so different ideas about gathering different interests and different engagements of people in dance and how that might happen through the party.
No, it's really cool. There's a DJ / philosopher in Brisbane called Sarah Scott, and she speaks about dance being a way to de-individuate a person, and that she facilitates, when she DJs, she tries to create the arc of the evening in a way to facilitate that people can't help but dance, and in the act of dancing lose their the part of self-identity that says that you are separate from all other people. And so there's something nice about the communicative power of embodiment that is not linear and is not narrative, but is a human gathering. It's like another way to be a human.
That's it. And with that freedom of speech idea, I feel like there's so much that we can experience through our body that people don't feel like they have the permission to do, and that people are missing out on so much of that richness of their own experience of this world because they're physically limited by what they think they're allowed to do. Or I'm really interested in that as well, like physical limitation put on us by society in terms of expressing our body and expressing ourselves verbally and physically, but primarily physically. And for me, like, I can express myself quite confidently through my body, but perhaps through my voice and my intellect, I'm not so articulate. And so for me, it's perhaps finding ways that other people can find their articulate selves in all of these different ways.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the role of an audience, or the role of being viewed in all of these scenarios that we're setting up?
Okay. So when it comes to that participatory thing, a project which is much more about the experience and the practice and the kind of freeing of the self, I think the audience, you know, that's kind of put to the side. It's very much about the own personal experience, not about what you're doing and what you're saying or how it looks, but how you're feeling, obviously, and what you're getting out of that experience. So that's something that's, for me, quite a different project in a sense, or a different way of approaching making, or a way of approaching a dance facilitation. Or whereas performance work for me is very much about the communication of an idea and how I can use the deep connective kinesthetic visceral power of the human body to communicate these ideas in a way that can't be spoken or can't be read or can't be visually painted, or, you know, using a different medium that we deeply feel that the resonance of that idea on another layer that is kind of unexplainable. So for me, that the performance part of it with the audience there is really important, because to have that two-way communication between performer and receiver and audience is so evocative of the success of the work, that transition, that communication, that transfer of energy, that transfer of an idea, that's present and that's real. Whereas the other kind of area that we're talking about, the participatory, is very much about the self, the own feeling, the revealing of self, the experience of self, experience of others, rather than, yeah, but then, yeah.
That's all right. I don't think it's so. Yeah.
I don't know, but I think there is a, of course, there's a degree of communication in both of those.
Yeah. Or it's just nice to know that people are there with you, even if they can't physically be with you.
Exactly. But for me as a performer, I really, really deeply treasure that exchange between the audience. Like, I feed off the audience so much, and it became very present for me the other week when I was giving this talk and this dance that I'd created, this physical theatre dance talk about the Australian Dance Party, and how people's faces and their energy coming, turning to me and feeding off me, and their language, their body language, and how then I could kind of, you know, look into someone's eyes and kind of evoke something of a thought to them, or present a thought to them really deeply and personally, was so energetically charging, and makes it that thing of, about people.
Yeah.
It's that honesty and that transfer and that exchange. And that's what I really love and cherish.
Can you back up a little bit and give everybody who's not you and me a little bit of context about the talk and the party?
Yes. So I've been developing Australian Dance Party over the past couple of years, this idea, and I had this opportunity to present Australian Dance Party to a room of potential supporters or potential sponsors, and with the idea that they might want to financially support but also collaboratively engage with the Australian Dance Party.
And almost become advocates for the idea.
Absolutely. So it was an introduction to this concept of Australian Dance Party as a professional dance mechanism in Canberra to get dance out into our society, to stimulate our professional dance ecology and provide employment for our artists, but also to find new ways to create work that is collaboratively connected to cross sectors of society, to non-arts fields. So they had an opportunity to kind of be involved and get involved and come and ask me questions about how the dance work of the Australian Dance Party could connect with their sphere of influence. So, for example, the owner of the airport here in Canberra was there, and he was very interested about the proposal or the idea that I had to create a dance work there in the terminal of the airport that kind of reflected on the comings and goings of the airport and the emotional kind of, kind of resonances that happen there, which are really powerful for every single human being that comes through an airport, you know, the coming and going, the transience.
And you worked on that through Strange Attractor, which you also co-founded.
Yes. Yeah, so Strange Attractor is a choreographic development platform that we have here in Canberra annually, and it's been going now for 4 years. And it's been a great platform for kind of, in a sense, like a precursor in terms of my development for what I'm doing now. It's given me confidence in my own practice and in my own ways of working and what I want to say through my work, and that there is a need here in Canberra to have a strong platform for professional practice all the time, and that it's not just 1 week or 2 weeks out of a year where artists can gather and create and reflect and experiment and tease out ideas, and that Australian Dance Party is kind of an extension in a sense of what I've learned through that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a big couple of months, but it's really exciting and very daunting as well. But you know, I've been instilled with a lot of confidence with people in the community as well, which is so energizing and so motivating for me. That yes, we once had such a strong contemporary dance history here in Canberra, beautiful artists and beautiful choreographers coming through our city to create work, and through the Choreographic Centre, Meryl Tankard and Sue Healy and Katie McCarthy and wonderful artists who have left this legacy here. So I'm really energised by that history as well, and that also that I can connect to the wonderful resource of QL2 Dance and Ruth Osborne, who's been my mentor for about 4 or 5 years now, and that we see together. I've been talking with her a lot about the legacy of this ongoing practice for these youth artists as well, these young people coming through who are extraordinarily talented and creative and just interested and smart, and but then they go off to Sydney and Melbourne or Perth, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. They do their training, or Europe, but for them to see that there's a way, there's a platform, there's avenues to create and to connect to a collective here in Canberra that's making work professionally and making a career of it, is really important.
Can you tell me about making work and about making it in a space that is public space? Mm. Because one thing that I love when I stumble across events in public space, especially ones that are not charging me a ticket price, is that they seem to be existing outside the normal commerce motives of a city. And then that reminds me that I'm living in a community and a society, not just a central business district. Yeah, not just in an economy. Yeah. And that goes the whole gamut from like old retired men sitting in the park playing chess, to kids playing on a playground. But like any time that someone is doing something that doesn't seem like it's motivated by trying to sell you something, it reminds me that I am also living amongst other people rather than amongst an economy. But apart from that, like I wonder if you could give us some insight on works that you've made and put in front of public, and how it's not, I don't know, how you deal with it being weird. Because there's a lot of dance that goes on in public that is not necessarily looking exactly like dance, because they're pushing back against what it needs to look like. But I know that you have a body and a technique and a set of mannerisms and habits and preferences which result in capital D, this is dancing is happening right here.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, well, recently I created this work called Sprout, which is kind of, it's a reflection on how we're losing a sense of connection to nature, and that our world is ever increasingly concrete and hard surfaces and non-organic. And so I created this piece that actively we presented right in the middle of Canberra in Green Place in the CBD, which is it's becoming quite a derelict kind of area, actually. It needs refurbishment. And so this was also part of a kind of enlivening and enriching what it could be as well. So I worked with two dance artists, Deborah DeCenta and Olivia Fife, and we created Sprout, which in a sense was a process of guerrilla gardening, but through dance.
Awesome. Totally awesome. Tell me more about that.
So we started as kind of a non-assuming, like, business women dressed in corporate wear, and then we kind of like falling over and tripping over, and something's definitely wrong with these characters, and then we kind of stop and realize, and then we see this space around us, and every single part of it is pavement or concrete or building or window. Like there's like a couple of trees maybe, and then so it's also about this reflection on the stress that environment gives, and that the natural environment actually lives and breathes with us and gives us energy. Whereas these hard spaces, these hard surfaces are dead spaces. There's no life, there's no breath, there's no exchange, communication between the human body and the living environment. And so for us, that kind of, that was an embodiment of this kind of stress and this fear, this kind of pressure or non kind of empathy that we're feeling with this, these hard spaces. Anyway, and then so we transition into quite literally, it's quite a literal work, and I suppose that's also part of the process of creating site-specific work for me a little bit, is enabling the audience to have a way into it, that it's not so isolating or abstract that people just like, what the hell is going on, like walk away and don't engage with it, that they can see, oh, okay, they're changing into overalls, what are they going to do? Like, so then we change into overalls and dig, find some dirt, and, you know, we create, and so we create this this garden through a number of dance improvisation scores, based around the process of gardening and what's involved in it. And so I feel like that's a real way in for the audience to engage with that and still make them think about the concept very deeply. Like, yeah, they'll look around and see, well, actually there is no gardens here. Where are the gardens? Like, where is my garden in my life? Do I actually have time with nature every day? No, I don't. Or, you know, and at the end we give them a little seed, a bean, like a little seedling, and say, you know, here's to sprout nature in your life if you choose. And that's so they awesome. take that little seed and hopefully do, you know, plant it somewhere in their life. But it's like an offering. Yeah,
that's what I was exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. It's like a beautiful offering. And I remember when I used to do breakdance performances in Darwin City Mall, and it felt like a display, which it kind of talks about how you're finding what you want to do and how you want to operate. It steals a little bit from the like public ta-da display mechanism, but then also turns it into an exploded view of an observation that you've had. And that exploded view, it becomes an offering.
Yeah,
to then perceive that thing. That's really
nice. And it's not saying to the audience, like, I'm really conscious of this with the Australian Dance Party, with the ideas that we kind of provoke, that we don't say a particular opinion, really. Like, it's just about, yeah, that offering of considering this idea and how do you relate to this concept and what is your opinion and how does that sit with you? They're kind of provocations in a way. Wow. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And there's something nice about my understanding of contemporary dance as a form, that its superpower really is to deconstruct things so that there is enough space for what you assumed just was the way that everything was. Start to see the spaces and the gaps between them, like you're talking about with deconstructing the movements and then that falling into perhaps some kind of dance that then becomes an observation or a provocation.
Yeah. And I love that the simplicity that you can drill into with a specific idea, but then the multiplicity that arrives out of that.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, the piece that I was working on with in Strange Attractor, the party piece, this idea of party and what is a party. You know, the simplicity of that and how far you can drill into it and deconstruct it and open up new ideas and new passageways and retrain the brain to consider things in new ways and new possibilities. And that's what I also hope that the company, that Australian Dance Party, will do for these non-art sectors, that we might provide an opportunity for people to reflect on the way they work and their systems and their kind of modes and their functions and see more possibility. Yeah.
I really enjoy dancing and thinking.
Yeah.
I was doing something.
But I also really enjoy just dancing.
Just dancing and not thinking.
Like, you know, there's both of that, and I love that, you know, that function is really important, to just let go to the body. Like, yeah. But I see what you're saying.
I don't know. I was just I just wanted to know, like, how has all of this come about? And maybe there's some people that inspired you, or there's a genesis moment that you might be able to give us some insight on for Strange Attractor, but then also for Australian Dance Party, but also Alison Plevy, this thinker and communicator and publicly engaged citizen.
I don't know. Jeez, where
is it? Yeah, you're right. Don't worry about the past. No, let's just think about the future.
Yeah. But I think in terms of Australian Dance Party, I always, since moving to Canberra, I always felt like I could contribute something, or I could ignite a more active dance community, or bring it together in a new way as well, bring what is already here and what is already rich together in another way. But then it was also about this particular moment where a fellow who I've known for a few years, he works as a developer here in Canberra, so he creates spaces, he's a placemaker.
Wow.
And he is particularly artistically and culturally minded, for want of a better word. He values the role of arts and cultural experience in creating those places, in building these amazing developments that contribute to our city. So that's very, very unique in its sense. So he'll invest in artists creating public art in these precincts to make them come to life, to invest in festivals that bring people together, to have music concerts every weekend where people can just access in the courtyard over a coffee or whatever. So he sees that is important, and he invests in that, not just in the concrete spaces that I was talking about before, that he invests in people. And for me, that is incredible. Anyway, but he also particularly invests in artists. And so he said to me, why is there no dance company, or why is there no active or not a visible kind of professional dance collective here in Canberra? And I said, well, it's quite a small community for one thing, but the funding environment is very limited, and we've got such a strong youth company, QL2, and strong community art sector, and great following in terms of young people learning dance as a fitness tool, as a training tool, as a art form in that sense. But there's not the avenue, or there's not the platform, there's not the support for professional practice at the moment anyway. And there has been in the past. And he said, oh, okay, so how would we make that happen? And I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we need to raise the resources. We need to bring together a group of really energized, creative, intellectual people who want to make this work, who want to collaborate, someone to lead it, obviously. And he was like, okay, well, if you go away and kind of come back to me with a model or an idea of how that might work. And so I did that, and that was like 2 years ago. And so we had that conversation 2 years ago. And then, over this time, I've been building and working on what that is, and what is that voice for Canberra as well. Like, Australian Dance Party as dance for the political capital, I think it's really fun and really important, and it's kind of in itself reinstating its value in the political rhetoric, the value of dance in our society, and it's very site specific in that sense, that whole name and that whole purpose of the company. Here we are, and he's contributed a little bit of support to the company development over the time. But someone like that, just that simple little conversation, it wasn't simple, but it probably was for him. But for me, it was like mind blowing and transformative. But then seeds of ideas can develop into these amazing things where now he's so excited and so invested in this process to be a part of, to see this small contemporary dance company grow for our city, and that he had something to do with starting it and igniting it. And so already it's been that collaboration, that cross-sector collaboration, which is fantastic. Yeah.
What's your biggest hope?
Biggest hope.
Because 2 years you've been working on this thing, and it's starting to become visible and people are talking about it, but it's like it's like the old saying, when you're 90% done, you've only got 50% to go.
Yeah. Well, my biggest hope is that I and we as a Canberra kind of small dance community here really harness this opportunity to the best that we can, and that we're not afraid. And I've been really afraid. But, yeah, I'm really empowered as well, yeah. So to have that guts as a young artist and a young female artist around lots of strong men as well, yeah. Be not afraid to do my thing and do what I love and bring people along for the ride and open up their eyes to the richness of this world and the richness of creative practice. Yeah.
You got any how to do that?
Because
I would also like to do that.
Be not afraid. Yeah. 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 It's, I don't know, it's drawing energy from people around you, from what you know to be true in yourself, what you know that you love and what you know is important, and holding true to that. And people might, you know, be naysayers, and people might, doubt the potential or doubt what's possible. But, you know, we have a short time in this life as well, and I think that very often, and that I want to use every second. And that's a lot of what I'm, you know, that's probably how I live my life, probably a little bit too much to the extreme, where I try to do so much. But for me, that's it as well, like really running with every moment and finding the beauty in every opportunity. It's a hard thing for sure. But really it comes down to your inner self strength, courage, yeah. And we have to be courageous as artists, because otherwise we're not gonna be around. And that's also a big thing for me. Like I feel as a solo artist, you know, I wasn't making much money, I wasn't making much living, you know, but this is all I know. Well, it's not all I know, but it's what I know that I love and who I am and everything that I know that I am and how I exist in this world. So to find a way to actually make that viable for the long term was really a driver as well. But not just for me, but for this whole history and this whole legacy of professional dance practice, and how can we make that continue? Like point blank, like what is that future? This model of Australian Dance Party connecting with these other people and these other collaborative modes hopefully is perhaps, yeah, a seed of something that could help that. Mm.
Well, I promised that I would tell you when 40 minutes is up.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
But, you know, I've got time. I just know you have to go soon.
But, yeah, maybe if you have anything else, just... But, yeah, I don't know. Sorry for getting emotional.
I don't think you should ever apologise for getting emotional. It's exactly like you said. Inner strength and courage. And what is that fueled by if not emotions and passion and love?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Alison.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been really good. Really good, actually, to just have that process of reflection. And that's, yeah, something that we don't do enough as artists too.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot more to ask you about details.
Yeah.
Like just a lot more how and when and what do you do when that happens and how do you consider this person in this group environment. But I, on the other hand, maybe that's not for today because I feel, I don't know, somehow, like you said about bringing other people along for the ride, I feel like I've been brought along for the ride.
Yay! Oh, that's so cool. Yay. Yeah.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to?
Well, at the moment, we're working on our first show for the Australian Dance Party.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's called Strings Attached.
Uh-huh.
And I had to ask the Strings Attached mob in Sydney if I could use the name. But they very graciously said yes. Anyway, so the project is a collaboration, fancy that, between Canberra Symphony Orchestra, so six musos and four dance artists. And it's looking at the role of dance and music, this intimate relationship between dance and music, and their kind of its changing role in our society over time. So how it's kind of evolved from a function of like invention and creative practice, and it still is as well. But and then to its ritual and social functions, to its, you know, mateship and courtship functions, to its self-release and self-expression functions, to political propaganda functions of dance and music in our society. So it's really looking at how dance and music kind of shapes our cultural experience, very broadly, obviously, because it's highly complex. But and then it's also looking at this relationship or this transfer between form, so how the language of dance and music is so can be so connected or is so transferable, and so it's about this interplay of form and how, you know, we can use this idea of tonality in the music and the tonality of the body, or like the, you know, the tempo or the variation in quality, or respond to an idea, and how music and dance very much have this beautiful emotional connection that is quite unique together, and there's a beautiful synergy between dance and music. So it's looking at the function of dance and music and its changing role over time, and then also this interplay between form and how dance and music really talk to each other, or maybe have not, have kind of have less of a relationship nowadays in contemporary practice, perhaps, like the dance is created first and then the music comes later, or you know, or you specifically create to a piece of music and what that is, or so it's all of these different combinations of how dance and music for me relate to each other. It's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, holy shit.
yeah but it's, you know, we're kind of taking it with a grain, like we know that we can't cover everything, but
yeah.
It's kind of an insight into the complexity of those forms and how they interrelate.
How are you going culturally with that?
Yeah, it's been challenging. The focus on the form part of it has been really useful in that sense, that not getting too bogged down in cultural kind of areas where I'm probably not so familiar with or have that experience of, but still that sense that we can tell stories or we can still have a spiritual experience through dance and music, whether it's, you know, a particular culture or not, we can still have those experiences through that engagement with dance and music. So it's bringing it more down to the people that are involved in the project rather than trying to express yes. or represent what else is out there. It's bring it down to what we can embody and can, yeah.
And then the personal can become the universal.
Yes, yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it. So awesome. It should be fun. We've got like 10 days till the show, so it's really soon, which...
Wow. Yeah, and where are you performing?
We're performing it at New Acton, which is this precinct that... the supporter that I was speaking of earlier, mm-hmm. it's his kind of precinct, so mm-hmm. it's also a non-theatre space, and it will be kind of in the round, kind of experiential, quite immersive piece, but not in a theatre. So that sense of that we want to connect the strings as well between the performers and the audience, and have that beautiful communication through dance and through music. And we've also got a string installation artist doing like some awesome string work on the walls and through the audience. So bring all those elements together. But yeah, it's been cool. It's been challenging with everything else going on, to kind of get my head into gear with the clarity of what the work is about. And I've done a lot of work with the musicians quite early on to choose some musical pieces that we think really represent this diverse relationship of dance and music. But it's really brought to the fore the importance of investing in those collaborative relationships right from the beginning of the process, and that for me, who perhaps initiated the project, that to have a sidekick on that musical side that I can really bounce off with is super important, and that I perhaps could have done that a bit better or a bit earlier, so that collaboration is really true. We'll see.
All right, 10 days.
Yeah. But we've done like a couple of weeks.
And where do you want people to find out more about what you do or this show?
So you can go to australiandance.party.
Great.
On Facebook. Or you can just email me, alison@australiandance.party. And you can find Strings Attached, the performance, on Eventbrite.
Wow. That's so awesome.
It's so awesome.
6 days until the show.
I always try and, just be really present with the now as much as I can, as hard as that can be. But
you got any tips for that?
tips. Just kind of, I breathe a lot. think, just use my intuition. Don't worry about things so much in the future that you can't control. Just be intuitive to what you're feeling in that, which is a hard thing to do in the sense of power as well. But because it can become very overwhelming and consuming. And just driving then from Bathurst to Canberra, I was thinking about this scene and In Strings Attached and how all the different ways it could happen, but why would I do it like that? Why, and then it's like, well, maybe when I see it, I'll know. It's like just kind of trusting that there's something there and find it in the moment.
I guess it's that question you always ask yourself when you're young. What does love feel like? And everyone's just like, when you know, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. You do.
And does that same thing happen with choosing collaborators to work with you for dance, like especially your dancers, your cast?
I think so. It does. But it's also, for me, this geography thing as well. Like I really want to invest in the dancers that are here in Canberra. And build those collaborative relationships, even if they're not quite so strong yet, or we don't have that sensibility to each other yet, or that because we just haven't had the time together. So it's about igniting that relationship and then finding a space to work together and see what's there and how that sits, and then keep investing in it or reflecting on whether it was good or what could shift, or how was that for you? How was that for me? What was my role? What was your role? Can we work, differently? It's so much in collaboration that you need to consider. And I'm really discovering that as well as the driver of this project, but then still wanting it to be a collaborative and democratic process. There needs to be a leader though. There needs to be that kind of driver in that sense. In the way that I've set up this project anyway, so. But it's challenging as well because, you have to be really confident and clear in your ideas, and that's something that's, we can always work on. We can always work on the not knowing as well, and being okay with not knowing and being open and honest with the people in the room. I'm not sure about this, but let's give it a try. This is why, you know, and that's part of the creative process of arriving at the yes moment. That's it. You know. Oh.
So good. So true, and yet so hard to apply.
So hard to apply. Yeah. But thank you, Matt. Like, this is, you know, this practice of talking and the dialogue and the conversation about what we do is all part of it. And that's really been helping me a lot in solidifying what it is I'm doing and why. And so thanks for listening. And thanks to everyone.
Yeah, thanks to everybody else for listening. Yeah.
You rock. Thanks for doing this. It's really great, you know. Go Wombat Radio. It's really great.
Go Wombat Radio. I agree.
Good on you. Talk to you soon. Thanks,
bye, man.